Welcome back. This is the Confident Collective podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Rayanne.
And I'm Christina. We are curb models, content creators, and some would even say comedians.
We started the Confident Collective podcast to help you live your most confident life by sharing our stories and sitting down with experts to talk about, well, life.
We chat sex, dating, business, relationships, and so much more. We hope you love this episode, so let's get into it.
Okay, I found an apartment.
I need to know every single detail. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Honestly, it was so overwhelming because finding an apartment in New York is just crazy. And insane. It was taking up like all of my time. Like, I feel like I got like no work done. And it was just like taking up so much time because you have to like be checking listings, going to see it. People were literally like frantically filling out applications as they were in looking at the apartment. One day we went to go look at an apartment. There was like a line of like 30 people down the block. And then I'm like, do I like this apartment or do I only like it because everybody wants it?
Dude, when I saw that line, I was like, instant anxiety.
No, it was crazy.
Like all those people for one place.
Yes. Yes. So
tell us about your place, the neighborhood, what made you decide this one?
So it's really interesting because when I was in LA, when I first moved out of my ex-boyfriend, I moved into like a big new building, like I did. And then a couple places later, I lived on Sierra Bonita where I literally, it was a dream. Honestly, that apartment healed my soul. And I really, truly say it was like magic. I met Missy, who became my best friend, who lived upstairs. Like, it was like a tree-lined street, like a Parisian little apartment. It's beautiful. So I'm in a brownstone in Brooklyn.
Amazing.
And it is just newly renovated, beautiful. Like, the street is like my dream street. It feels like the West Village, but it's in Brooklyn. And like, it just is so quiet and peaceful. And I'm just so excited. I've got a fire escape. It's a completely different vibe than the building I'm in now. And also, I'm just excited for like a fresh start. I'm getting rid of a ton of stuff. I am nervous going to a one bedroom again.
Okay, yeah.
I'm downsizing again because, I mean, I've spoken about this before. Like, holy shit, like shit's getting real. Like, I'm going into intense saving mode because I want to buy a place and have my like dream home one day. That's really important to me. And the last few years, I've really just spent a lot of money on travel and doing these other things, which I have no regrets about. But I was looking where I could save money. And yes, it's nice having a two bedroom for storage because we do work from home and it is nice. But I'm choosing to be in New York right now. And the fact of the matter is, if I lived anywhere else, I could have a two bedroom. I could have a house.
Yeah.
But I'm choosing to be in New York. So I'm making the sacrifice to have a smaller apartment and I'm just going to make it work. I'm simplifying. I'm getting rid of stuff. I'm saving money. I feel so good.
Everything that you just said was like, that feels amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I just feel like when you move, it's a fresh start.
Totally.
New neighborhood. So yeah, I'm excited. What's going on with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm so excited for you. Second of all, it's been just so busy. So we just celebrated Greek Easter and now it's Mother's Day. And I've just also been redoing my backyard and being at home so much and it feels so good. And I think that like I was really struggling this winter. Like, did we make the right decision? Did we make the right decision? And then the other day I was like, hey mom, I want a garden. Can you come and help me? And like my mom and I went to Costco together and then gardened. And I'm like, this is like why I moved here.
No.
Like for little moments like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so nice. And I feel like, I don't know why I just got emotional thinking about
that. I know.
This episode is emotional.
This is an emotional episode. But
anyways, I think that like it's really easy for me to, I feel like I am very good at enjoying the simple things in life that bring me joy and appreciating them. But I also sometimes am very like, what's next? Like FOMO, like feeling like things aren't good enough. Like I'm not doing enough. And it's like those little moments where I took a photo of Nicholas in the backyard, like on the grass. And it was like, this is my favorite photo of him ever, like on our green grass. Like it's just so nice. So I feel like I've been really good lately at just like enjoying the little moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And I do feel like the energy is shifting. Like the sun is out.
It's getting warmer. Gosh. Yeah.
I think that's so nice. And especially like Mother's Day, like planting flowers with your mom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. Also, this takes me into the obsessed.
Yeah. Tell me.
Okay. As a parent, you get into a very specific routine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were never like crazy sticklers on it. Like we have to leave dinner at 7 o'clock because our kids have to go to sleep at 7:30. But you get into routine, especially the nighttime routine. Honestly, it so often becomes like dinner is rushed. Like, I eat so many of my meals standing up, honestly, because I'm just focused on, like, Christian and Nicholas eating and, like, getting them into, like, their bath and bedtime. It's, like, a whole ordeal. It's, like, 2 hours of your evening is really dedicated to that, honestly.
Yeah.
And I just started, and I think it's because, like, it's been so nice out and, like, the days are longer. Being like, listen, the kids can go to sleep later. We don't need to do that. We moved dinner up earlier. And now we've just been going out after dinner, like for walks around the neighborhood or to the park. That. And we live so close to the beach. So we're now doing evening beach hangs. And it's like just the best feeling ever. Like, bring dinner to the beach. I feel like so much. And this is, I think, very European. I mean, but I feel like in America, people are like, got to get to the beach by like noon and like stay out there and fry. I'm like, no, the best time to go to the beach is at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. Hang out until sunset.
Yeah.
And I feel like as parents, like, you don't really do that because you're like, I got to get my kids, like, home for dinner and in bath and bed. And I'm like, they're going to be fine.
So they'll be fine. European of you.
I'm so European. So anyways, we've been doing these evening beach hangs, and it's just, like, good for my soul. It feels amazing. Ugh. And it actually all started when I went on my girls' trip because we had an 8:30 dinner planned, and we all went back to the house. We had an Airbnb, and we went back groups at a time because there was only 2 showers, and there's, like, 10 of us, so we don't all have to be there at the same time. And it was me and 2 of my friends were the last people at the beach. I'm like, it'll take me 10 minutes to get ready. Yeah. Well, it took me a little bit longer. It was fine. But I'm like, this is just amazing. The sun is down. You don't have to worry about sunscreen anymore. You don't have to worry about the sun burning. You're just like free.
You're getting me so excited for summer right now.
Oh my gosh. I started playing soccer on the beach. Now it's time to ask everyone around us if they have anything spiked, you know?
So who's got something? I love that.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm obsessed with that. And it's just making me so excited for summer.
Same. All right, my obsessed is the new season of Bridgerton is coming out.
Okay, I never watched the second season.
Honestly, it's fine. I'm just like really rooting for this third season because our curvy queen, Nicola, is the star.
Oh.
Okay, how old do you think she is?
Oh gosh, I hate these questions.
No, no, really look at her. How old do you think she is?
23.
She's 37 years old. I know.
What?
She is 37 years old.
I did not expect that.
No,
I actually thought you were going to be like, you're right. Wow.
She's
37?
Yes. That is my obsessed. She's 37. She looks like she's like 24.
She looks like a baby.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. Okay.
So it comes out. I'm really excited because I just love whenever there's like a curvy girl as the lead. I'm like, fuck yes. Yeah. Like, let's do it.
Good for her. That's amazing. Also, wait. Let me just make this about me for a second.
Of course.
You know, my whole Taylor Swift stuff, the best thing that happened to me, the best comment I received in all that was like, wow, people are like, you look different, but you literally look the same age. Or, no, someone said, you look different, but how do you look younger than you did in that interview?
Wow. Wow. I know. In last week's episode, we were talking about how we feel like we've had a glow down. Oh, honestly, you need to take what the people are saying to heart.
I know.
You
are not. Actually, some people messaged me after that episode where we said we have celeb lookalikes.
And
they, like, they said, I've been thinking, they confirmed one of the celeb looks like. They're like, I've been thinking this all the time, every time I see you, that you look like this person.
Who?
Phoebe Tonkin. Oh. I was like, that's so funny. They're like, it's something in the eyes.
In the
they were very specific about it. But yeah, isn't that funny?
That's crazy.
I know, best compliment ever. And wow, someone send this to Nicola.
Yeah.
Me saying that she looks like she's 23 years old.
Yeah, send it to her because that's going to be
life-changing for her. She's going to feel amazing.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
I'm so excited for today's episode. I feel
Me
like
too.
It's different than some of our past episodes, right?
I would say it's very different than our past episodes.
So today we have Caitlin Reagan on. She's a friend. She's a content creator. She amassed a huge social media following during COVID when her and her boyfriend Francesco were posting couples videos. The two were together for over 9 years. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed and passed from cancer, which honestly is such a heavy topic to talk about. And I felt like myself too, like it's hard to like ask certain questions because I don't know, just like a hard conversation to navigate. It's so sensitive.
Yeah. You want to like be sensitive to the situation. And I think death is a hard conversation to have.
Super hard. And I feel like Caitlin does such an amazing job about talking about loss, grief, how to find yourself again. And honestly, was just so good at simplifying emotions that I just found there's so many takeaways for me from this episode.
Yeah, I loved hearing her talk through her story of going through this very traumatic experience and where she's at now and dealing with that grief and healing through grief. And I think it's a very valuable story. No matter where you're at in your life, if you've experienced something like this or not, like hearing her talk about it was very enlightening and very inspiring too.
Absolutely. Okay, without further ado, let's welcome Caitlin.
If you like saving money, and let's face it, who doesn't, then you have to get Rakuten, because Rakuten shoppers get it all when it comes to shopping. The hottest brands, the best deals, and the most savings. With Rakuten, you get cash back at stores you love like Macy's and Adidas, and one of my faves, Levi's. You'll also never miss out on promo codes and coupons because Rakuten gives you all the best ones. You can even stack cash back on top of sales, credit card points, and other loyalty programs. And it could not be easier. Just join Rakuten for free, then use the website or app to shop your favorite stores and watch your cash back add up. So before you buy another thing, join Rakuten, because Rakuten shoppers always get the most bang for their buck. Get started at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
We are so excited Hello. To have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
I don't think I told you this, but we met on the Chris and Ness trip, and I drove our snowmobile together.
Oh, how was that?
It was much better being on the back of a snowmobile.
Of Christina driving? I feel like I'd be
We won. There was like a little race contest. Oh, she was really not playing.
Not surprised.
No, it was actually insane.
Not surprised.
I'm actually like not competitive at all, but I feel like when it comes to racing, like I actually can be very competitive.
I was going
to
say cap, because no, you were ready to go.
I was going to say, I feel like you are competitive.
You think so?
Yes.
Short little time knowing you so far, after that, I was like, oh, she's not playing.
She's not playing. Well, I'm so excited to meet you because Christina obviously came back and told me about you and the trip. And it sounds like such an amazing like group of girls. And
it was.
So I'm excited to meet you. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, first off, right now, like in this moment, how are you?
Right now, today, I actually am feeling great. I don't know. I was just like creating my schedule this week and I was like, wow, I am creating my own schedule. It's mine. I feel good. This is my life. I own my life again. Yeah. I think like when you go through so much, you just feel like a victim and you lose control. And like writing my schedule out, I'm like, wait, I'm back. Like that's crazy. So I feel really good this week.
Okay, that's amazing. I feel like we need to rewind to circa what year do we start at? Maybe we started at circa 2020.
Okay.
And flashback. Tell us a little bit about how you got into social media, your content with Francesco, your partner, and everything there.
So I actually started social media. This is a crazy fun fact. It'll be my biggest flex for life. I was Justin Bieber's One Less Lonely Girl when I was younger.
What?
Wait, what?
I know. Yeah, so.
Wait, I need to look that up.
Pulled you up on stage and sang to you that song.
Yes, I was the New York girl.
Stop.
Yeah, I have it.
That is the biggest, honestly.
I know. I was just like running shit. So that's where
Wait,
it started.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Wow, so this is, dude, that is like, as a 15-year-old?
I literally hit the lotto.
Yeah.
So at that time, Instagram first came out and I think I had like 6,000 followers and it was like having to like 100,000 or something like that. And I just was like, whoa, like this is so cool, because every time he would sing to a girl later that night, he would be like, hey, like it was so nice having so-and-so on stage so everybody would find you. And I was like, wait, this is crazy. And so from there, I had this following and I knew that it was something cool, but I just didn't know like what it meant or like what can I do with it. So as I got older, the followers stayed and they kind of just like watched me grow up, now going to college in Miami and like that cool lifestyle. They're like, wow. Then I went on a reality show. It just like keeps going, and that kind of helped me. And when I came off the reality show and I reconnected with Francesco, we were bored during COVID and we made some TikToks, and it kind of just really started from there. The real start.
You guys first started dating in what year?
2013. So it was a really
long... How did he feel about Justin Bieber pulling you out?
I'll never forget his text. So I hear you're lonely now.
Wait, that's kind of smooth.
Yeah, no. Oh, if he called himself Mr. Smooth. That was his quote. So he would love that you said that right now.
Honest.
Yeah, he was not happy.
You were dating at the time that Justin Bieber pulled you.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, he was not.
No,
happy.
I feel like any man, no matter how confident, secure you are, would be pissed at that situation in a way, or feel, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, girls our age, Justin Bieber was like, no one compared.
No. I don't know what he did to us. He like cast a spell.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. And I even told him, I was like, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. The next day I woke up, I was feeling myself. I was like, listen, you got to understand. You might have to share. I thought this was it. Yeah. I was married. The way he looks at you, talks to you. You were a great One Less Lonely Girl. I was like, I'll see you tomorrow.
Like, never saw me.
I was convinced that this is the start of something new.
This is the
new.
Last time he was ever going to do it at his concert because he was so obsessed with
you. Oh, yeah. Next day, he's like in Philadelphia just singing to another girl. I'm like, all right.
You're like, I'm confused. What's happening?
What happened? So really that was my real start to having something online.
Wait, what reality show were you on? I forgot.
It was Paradise Hotel on Fox.
Okay.
It was an interesting experience. So.
Like good interesting or bad interesting?
Good and bad. Like good because you're getting this experience to fight for money, $200,000. And it's just cool to obviously just have an experience and like do this and meet people and see how you act when $200,000 is on the line. But at the same time, I think that reality TV, they really want you to be dramatic and out there and cause chaos. And I was having a hard time keeping up with like being chaotic. Have a drink. Come on. Like, they want to loosen you up. And it's just, it felt like I wasn't giving them what they were looking for.
Interesting.
So I didn't really love it. It was a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
That is interesting because when I think about my favorite reality stars, they are chaotic as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people always ask me, like, would you do it again? Maybe. Knowing like what they're looking for and like prepping myself and like stepping into that part of me and be like, let's go cause chaos.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to expect. So it was a little bit hard. At that age as well.
How old were you?
I was 21. Yeah, so it was just like...
Gosh, I'd be blacked out every single
time. Oh, my God. It was one of those ages where, like, you care what people think about you.
The fact that you were able to control yourself from being chaotic, I was like, I wake up chaotic.
I was, like, trying so hard to not be chaotic because I just knew so many people were watching. But I think that's, like, a little lesson itself. Like, who cares? Just have fun. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So... If I could go back, I would do that.
Okay, so that happens. Then you back to Brooklyn. You're with Francesco because you guys separated during college and stuff.
Yeah, on and off. The long distance. We were like, we could do it. And then I'm at a frat party. What's going on over there? I think it was good for us because, like, we starting at the age of 15, a relationship, and then going into, like, being 24, there's a lot that you learn about yourself and just evolving as a person. And I think we evolved a lot together. Obviously, our success and just really understanding what it takes to be in a healthy relationship. But when you're younger, you're just like all over the place. And it was hard to keep up with each other. So those breaks really helped us get to the finish line. Just explore, what does Caitlin want? What does Francesco want? Go date the girl that you're trying to force me to be and see if that's even for you. And then he had everything he was looking for. And he was like, oh, I don't like this. Vice versa. So it was really important for our relationship.
I don't think I've ever heard it said so simply like that. Like, go date the person you're trying to force me to be. That's pretty crazy because you think about it. Like, so many of us are guilty of trying to make our partner into this ideal version in our head. But what would it even be like dating that? That's so crazy. I don't know why that stood out to me so much. But like, because we're all kind of guilty of doing it.
Yeah. I think there was like a part of him. So he was very Italian. Mm-hmm. He came from a big family. And when you walk in the house, you say hello and you give them a big hug and you kiss them on the cheek and you sit down and you just get it. Like the culture, you get it. Somebody that maybe doesn't go out as much and kind of like dedicates their life to being in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I would try, but I just was so unhappy. And I was like, I'm going to end up resenting you. So we broke up and he ended up finding a girl. And honestly, when I saw on social media, he was with her and I knew briefly about her. I was like, wow, like this is the end of us because he finally got it. And he just wasn't happy. He just realized that instead of having that girl that already comes from all this, it's almost like boring because there's so much when two people are different. It's like, I want to help you understand this and see you evolve and see if you even love this and like find yourself in this version of how we do things and let me find yours and let me see yours and let me see how I mix. And I think it was more exciting to see the difference and learn and grow.
So how did you two end up reconnecting in 2020?
Well, when I went on the show, because it was like for the money, but then also it was like a love mix into it. So I'm like, listen, I want to talk about you because you got to talk about your exes and stuff. Sign the paperwork. So I can and he was like, fine. So he signed it and I said to him, if it's meant to be, if I don't find anyone, and I know it's like a hard concept for your brain to even understand right now, like I'll be back when I get home after this. And he watched me on the show as much as he could. I didn't do anything crazy, but the kissing scenes, he was like, I could shut it off. But I came home and I was like, hi. And he's like, hi. And then he's like, let's go get some coffee or whatever it was. And we sat down and we talked and then did it again. And he's like, I think like, we're in a place in our life. You're home from college. You graduated. Should we give this a go one more time? Because you can only keep failing so many times. You're like, maybe this is just not meant to be.
Right.
So I think knowing that I was home this time and knowing that like I was a little more settled down, I feel like going in college and
being crazy and chaotic there. I kind of was like ready to just surrender to all that just for a second and see, work on myself. We really started to find ourselves in a relationship. So yeah, it was kind of just like I came home and I was like, hi. He's like, hi. Well, it wasn't really anything more than that.
Yeah, you just reconnected. It seemed like the universe was putting this person back into your life.
Like Every time.
Right?
I remember sitting down with my mom before I even decided to go away to Florida to college. And I was like, what do I do? Because I'm so scared to go away and lose him. And she was like, if it's meant to be, it'll be. You got to put yourself first. And every time we just found each other back. So yeah, it was just quite the love story.
So at this point, you guys have known each other for what, like 7 years almost?
Yeah, I mean,
six years.
Yeah, like six, 7 years. Yep.
How did you guys start deciding to like share your love story on TikTok?
We started off just like doing like funny things, like pranks and stuff. I think we just thought that all we were going to be is just like two characters from Brooklyn and just this relatable couples content kind of thing. Very surface level, but fun. And that's what we wanted to do, was have fun. But around this time was when I started to say, wait a minute, like, why do we keep having to go to these doctor's appointments? Like, there was like this thing about him that I didn't understand, because at that age, I'm like, let's go out. What do you mean you have to go get a checkup? Like, I get checkups once a year. Why do you get one like every 2 months? I was just confused. And I just remember it was hard for him to explain just kind of living a life that's sustainable with cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, the cancer was nothing that was too crazy. It was just like a livable.
When was he diagnosed with cancer?
He was 19.
Okay, so you knew about it since then.
Yeah, but there's a difference between like knowing about it and understanding what that truly means. Like, I knew there was something serious to it, but you're just like, well, life is so good. Like, what? It's fine. Everything's gonna be fine. And for him, he was like, I hope so. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he knew that nobody really, at least amongst his friends, like his parents are obviously a different story, but we didn't really truly understand what that meant and just a change of life, if that makes sense.
So what did your life look like? What was that change of life that you're describing?
Well, when we would go to these doctor's appointments, everything was like kind of fine because we were still living a decent life. But if we went away, for example, his parents would pack him a lot of vitamins or medication, and I would just pack up my clothes and go. And when we would go out to eat or have a drink, like, he'd be a little bit more cautious, like, is this going to bring my numbers up? And you could see like the hesitation of, can I eat this? Or, and I would be like, just eat. Or just the idea of him not being as hungry. Like, having cancer, it can lessen your appetite. So I'd be like, why are you not eating? Like, eat, eat. Like, I'm eating. But I would get aggravated because I'm like, I was embarrassed. Like, am I weird for eating more than him? And there was just this disconnect. And when he found out that this was no longer a sustainable life and the cancer spread, was really when everything changed in terms of the way we showed up online, the way that we showed up for each other, the way that we understood each other. So it was a very slow progression of everything.
So in what year did you guys find out that this wasn't sustainable?
2021, I believe. He had back issues. We went to LA, and at this point, we were like killing it in our career. We were like this very well-known couple online, and we had all these dreams and things that we wanted to do. And I remember in LA, we were like hiking, and he was like, oh, like, my back is killing me. And I was like, are you okay? And he was like, yeah. And he was just like hoping, because I even said, like, maybe it's because we'd go to the gym. Maybe it's you pulled a muscle or something, like, hoping, and as well, like, knowing deep down inside, like, it could be something more, but it just won't be. Like, your life is too good. Like, it just can't be cancer. And one day after that LA trip, just hoping that it would go away, he just woke up in the middle of the night. He's like, this pain, like, I can't do it anymore. I need to go to the hospital.
So in LA, you guys went?
No, thank God. We came home. It was like 2 weeks after LA. Like, he was trying to like hold it out and like just hoping it would go away, just like everybody else. And we went to the hospital and he got his scans and were like, it spread, unfortunately, to his lungs, liver. And it was the worst day of our lives. It was horrible.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. No, that's just so crazy. And especially for you now, it's been like, how long has it been?
2 years. It was 2 years in March.
2 years in March since you passed.
Yeah.
That's so crazy because no matter what, like, it still probably takes you back to that exact moment.
Yeah, just like getting that news, you're just like, what do you mean? Like, what? And nobody really knew what to do or how to act. It was just like, everybody was just so silent. I remember the doctor saying, like, do you guys need a second? They were like trying to talk to us, and we were all just so spaced out. What now? What does that mean? And for us, that was just when our whole relationship changed and our content changed because it was hard to like keep the secret.
Right. No one knew up until then.
They knew that he had it in the past. I think they thought that he had it in the past because we would like sometimes talk about like the doctor's appointments and he would talk about like how he had cancer. I think he felt like if he told the world that he had cancer, people would treat him differently or look at him differently. He just wanted to fit in. Like, be a normal 23, 24-year-old. Like, don't look at me that way. I'm fine. He doesn't like sympathy. So after a point, it's like, hey, this is no longer a little portion of our life. This is our whole life.
Yeah.
We no longer can do anything but this.
Yeah, it's all consuming.
Yeah.
So how did that change your relationship? And, like, what the heck was going through your head? Like, I can't even imagine being in that position. Like, I guess kind of just take us through how you felt.
Yeah. Well, I remember that night after we got the news, the doctors were like, listen, here's the options. Go home. Think about it. Think about it. Doesn't need to be happening right in this moment. Next week, we'll hop on the phone or whatever, like the Zooms, and we'll talk about like what approach we want to take, and then we'll go from there. So I just remember like going home that night, and I was in his room, and we were watching Breaking Bad at the time. He's like, let's put the show on. Just trying so hard to snap out of it. And I'm like, hey. Like, what do you mean? Let's just watch Breaking Bad. He cared so much about everybody else. He was so worried. He couldn't even be in touch with, like, how he felt about it because he was so worried everybody else was, like, not okay. And I just said to him, no, like, we got to talk about this. And he was just like, okay, fine, let's talk about it. And I said, listen, like, I'm here. And he was like, look, stop talking. I just want to say to you, just go. Like, just leave. Like, I don't want you to be a part of this journey. You don't deserve for your whole life to stop. Like, just because my life is stopping, like, your life shouldn't stop. Just please, just go. And when I get better, like, I'll come back. And I was like, no. Like, no, 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 no. That's not what a relationship is. A relationship is being there when things are rock bottom. Like, yeah. I have been telling you since we're younger, every time things go wrong, I always am here and I always come back because I love you. Like, I don't just love you. Like, I love you. I'm standing in front of you and saying, this is what it is to be in love with somebody. And from there, I think we spend so much of our time telling each other, we love each other, we love each other. But do you really trust that person is going to be there when maybe shit hits the fan? And when you acknowledge that two people really mean it, it's a totally different relationship. So for the first time in our lives, we really were like embracing each other during that time. It was just like so quick and blurry and just stressful as hell.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy because I do think that you kind of just think that's never going to happen, right? And I don't know, like, as I've gotten older, but, like, I've started to, like, get so much anxiety of something happening to someone I love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, until you, like, really let your brain go there, it's almost hard to, like, really think about how much you care for someone.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Also, I give you so much credit for talking about this stuff without, like, being able to, because I think about it once and I start crying.
Yeah. I think because at this point, like, my life, like, the worst has happened.
Yeah.
It's, like, it just doesn't get worse from there. Like, I lost him. He's gone. That's it. It's done. My biggest fear happened, and all you could do is just go upward from there because, like, that was it. I just remember I spent so much of my time with his parents fighting the fact that, like, he's going to be fine, and, like, we were doing what the doctor said, but then also doing a bunch of research and, like, what else can we do to just, like, make sure everything's going to go well, and, like, spent so much time just being lost in what can we do. Where he kept saying, hey, I know you guys, like, think you could fix this problem, but I feel my body and, like, I don't think so. Can we just stop and just embrace each other? Like, just give it up. Give it up. And he really knew and we didn't. And sometimes I wish, obviously, like, I surrendered a little bit earlier, but.
To, like, just enjoy that time and stop. Yeah. Okay. So the worst happened.
Mm-hmm.
After that, because you guys were living your lives on social media, right? Mm-hmm. And then that happened and you just disappeared.
I disappeared.
You took a year off.
Mm-hmm.
Take us, like, through that, because I don't think, and I hope that, honestly, none of us have to experience a level of grief, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, I think grief can feel unmanageable. It's, like, all-encompassing. It's, like, suffocating at times. So I guess take us through your experience, and then I would love to know your advice for anyone kind of going through a similar situation or honestly, like, is just scared of a situation like this happening too.
Well, after he passed away, first things first was that I was there for it. So you wake up in the morning and he's still with you. And then in the middle of your day, he's gone. So it was just a really rough first couple of days because I needed to just embrace what just happened and what I saw and like just the whole experience. And then from there, I was so surrounded by everybody that loved him just as much as me or more or less. Just everybody that he loved so much just in one house and just being there with them. So being with people that get it and understand, not just get grief, but like get what it means to lose this specific person. And then I was, okay, there's two portions of this. There's, we took our followers on this whole journey who he really valued. And we did like a group prayer like the night before he passed away. I remember us sitting down, me and his family on live, TikTok live, and just like doing like a little prayer. And we just thought like the power of prayer is like everybody around the world, like being there, we're going to fix this problem. And so I knew I had to, before like really truly going away, I had to come to everybody and say, hey, this is the update. He's gone. So I did that. And I was like, I don't want to look at my phone again because my whole TikTok is just a trigger. He's everywhere. He was every video and I can't listen to his voice again. I don't want to see him. Like I just can't face anything that has to do with him. So I just ran away. And then one day I woke up and said, like, I can't keep hiding. Like at some point you got to like watch the videos again. You got to listen to his voice again. And, like, I don't want to like fear this. Like I want to like love this. Like this is all I have left. So why am I running? Like I want to love and like be okay with and watch these videos back and smile and laugh. Like that's what we wanted people to do. So you get to a point after like looping in like this horrible routine of nothing at all. Like you just wake up and you're like, what do you want me to do here? Like you're looking at your mom, you're looking at what? I'm laying down in bed and I don't want to move. Like, what do you want me to do? I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to get up. I have nothing. There's no real reason for me here right now. So you just get tired of living like that. You're like, okay, like this doesn't make sense. And so one day I was just like, okay, I need to get up. Like, this is actually insane. And so I just like, okay, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, okay, like, let's do some sort of skincare. Like, something needs to happen here. And so my first approach was like taking care of myself. Like, okay, I want to look presentable. Like, that's crazy. I never even cared about how I looked. So just like touching my face again and like putting products on. And I'm like, okay, like, I love the gym. Like, I'm going to the gym. Like, I am getting myself to the gym. So going to the gym and then like slowly like creating a little baby routine that doesn't require too much. It's just like baby steps. Like, okay, like there's a purpose. Now when I wake up, I could go to the gym. So it's like a slow routine. And then I remember one day I was like, okay, like I want to watch one video just to see how I feel. And it hurt. It hurt really bad. And I remember just like screaming. And the next day I was like, okay, I want to watch two videos. And just like you slowly start to just everything that you fear, you just face. There's some people that don't do that at all. Yeah. And to this day, whoever they've lost, and I've encountered some people because we've come together, they're like, how do you do these things? Like, I still can't. I'm like, there's no how. Nobody wants to do it. Mm-hmm. There's no technique to how to just go watch a video. You just have to do it. I wish there was like a more like strategic way to like find the strength, but you break through. It's like a breakthrough.
How do you think like watching your videos together after he passed helped you with the state of grief that you were in?
I think like watching the videos, being able to be okay with like, you watch those videos and you're like, why are we still not in this place? Why are we still not two people that are in love, healthy, happy? Why? And you're so angry at the upper hands, whoever that is, whoever you believe in, the universe, God, you're so angry and you're just like, everybody else is so happy and fine. Like, why us? And then you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to be angry anymore because where's that getting me? I'm holding on to anger for what? I just want to almost accept that this was our journey. This was our path. So instead of watching these videos and just get so mad, like, I feel like it really helped me find peace. If that makes sense. Like, I'm okay with that we had all these memories and I'm need to find a way to be okay with this is all we're gonna have. And this is just so beautiful and so enough for me.
Yeah.
So that's how it really helped me. Like, let this be enough.
Mm-hmm. Like honoring the time that you had together and kind of letting go of that anger that so rightfully you felt and people in the same situation feel.
Yeah.
How do you handle, because I would assume that like there are so many stages of grief, right? Mm-hmm. Then how do you handle not people making you out to be a victim in a way? Does that make it harder? Like, is it helpful to know that people are there for you? Or is it at a point like, okay, I'm okay? How do you establish that and those boundaries too?
What I've learned being the person that was going through the grief, it's a very uncomfortable situation for the people around you, for friends, people that don't understand but are trying so hard to. They don't understand how to approach you, what you need. And I think that the best thing that people would do for me during that time and that helped me feel a little bit more comfortable was instead of them tiptoeing around me or trying to treat me a certain way, would ask, hi, I don't know what it is that you need. Can you tell me? How can I show up for you today? And I would tell them, like, would you mind, like, going to the gym with me? I don't want to go alone. Or, yeah, of course. Like, people think, I think there's, like, a certain thing that you could do or you need to do more than. Just ask and listen. And I think for so long I was so scared to just burden people because I didn't want to leave bed. And I don't want people to feel like they want to babysit me. Or I just think that you don't need to worry about that because people that want to babysit you are going to babysit you and they're going to be happy to do it and they love you. Mm. And it's okay to be loved. It feels, sometimes for me at least, it feels a little bit weird. Like, okay, like you don't need to do all this. But no, like you would do it for them. You would. Yeah. So let them do it for you.
Let people support you.
Let people help you.
Which is so hard. I feel like it's hard. It's hard to let people give you help and give you support. But that's honestly such good insight, especially in situations where you're grieving. Like, letting someone help you is like, oh
and
my God.
We don't realize how much we reject help because my cousins, I didn't have a big relationship with them. And I was kind of just like, oh, like I hope my cousins some way, somehow like are there for me. And sometimes people are showing up for you in a way like you wouldn't expect. So like my cousins were like, oh, hi, like I know this is like a hard time for you, but if you want to get out of your house, like we're having like a group cousins, like we got a house in Outer Banks if you want to be there. And I was like, in my head, a first impression, no way. Like I don't want to go to Outer Banks. Like it's too far. I want to be in like my comfort in my home. My mom's here, like no way. And then like I'm like, wait a minute, like this is their way of trying to show up for me. This is all they can give. They don't know what else. Like they don't want to come to my house perhaps because we're not super close, but like let me try. So I like reached out to them back. I'm like, listen, like I don't know how I'm gonna be on this trip. And they're like, that doesn't matter. You just come as you can and we'll be there. And it was the best thing to just be in a different scenery, to challenge myself, to build these relationships, because when you're at rock bottom, you want to rebuild your whole life. And like, I always wanted close relationships with them. And so not only was I healing from Francesco, but I was healing all the other wounds that I always wanted to heal. And like, that is how you become whole. I think when you lose everything, you're like, I not only want to heal from this, but what else have I been lacking my whole life that has been holding me back? And like slowly but surely, I started to like just see all my problems that I've even being off of social media. Like, my God, like that ruined my whole life. I was so just all I knew was I need to do what I'm doing for social media. Like, if I'm going to a club, it's not for me. It's because I want to show that I'm at this club. And during that year being off, I'm like, oh, my God, like, I don't need to post anything. So that means like all my choices are for me. Like, oh my, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Wow, that's kind of a crazy feeling and thought. Yeah.
So when I came back to social media, I'm like, I'm not going to lose that now. This is it. Everything that I worked this whole year on, like this is coming with me because I never want to feel like this again. Like I was just showing up. I was literally like locked in a jail cell. I was living for everybody else. I was so many wounds I didn't even know how to address or face. And when you lose it all, you're like, okay, like I want to see everything for what it is. Show me my whole life and let's fix this. Seriously.
Yeah.
To be happy, to heal, truly heal, not fake heal. Really, what does it mean to heal and be truly peaceful?
Okay. I feel like you've just said so many amazing things in one that I don't even know what to start with. I'm going to start with the first thing on my mind. One, I think it is really important as someone who's like, I have two people in my life that are really close to me that both have just experienced like massive loss. And it is really hard to not know how to treat someone and like wanting to be there for them, but like also not want to say things, like feeling you're like tiptoeing around.
Yeah.
And I do really like that perspective that you said, just address it and ask what I can do for you.
Yeah.
Because there's a freaking elephant in the room here. We all know something happened. Like we have to do something about it. Two, I think that it's hard for people to realize how people show up for them. It's almost like the love languages, right? Like, you know how you give love and how you receive love. But sometimes it's hard to realize how someone else is showing you their love. So, like, being really open to that and not, because it probably would be really easy for someone in your position to be like, you know what, like, fuck these cousins. But no, that is them doing that, which I think is hard to, like, open your mind to that.
Absolutely.
But I think that we could all look at our own lives and try and be reflective and look back into certain scenarios and be like, wait, like, they did do this or that happened. Like, and I think that is just a helpful reflection onto our own lives.
Obviously, you went off the grid and you realized that you were basically living your life thinking about what you were going to post, mm-hmm. right? So now that you're back, how are you approaching it differently?
There's so many different angles to it. I think first things first, when like you learn what it means to be happy within, no views or likes could dictate that for me. That's one. Two, which sometimes I will be honest, I still get lost in that. And that's why I'll take like a weekend off and be like, okay, no social media. I need to reground myself because it's very easy to get lost in that. But just everything. I mean, if there's something that I don't want to do, like go out maybe on a weekend, I'm like, let me ask myself, look, because now I know what it means to do something for myself. Like, do you actually want to go? Like, do you, not Caitlin online, not whatever, the big Caitlin Reagan, like you, Caitlin, little girl, look at the little baby picture of you in the mirror. Do you want to go out tonight? Like, do you? Is this going to fulfill you? No, then no. It's okay to do nothing at all. It's okay to say no. So it kind of just like really helped me to just say no and like not let like social media and like comparing ourselves to other people like dictate my whole worth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so many people do that. I'm so guilty of that. Like, oh my God, worst. I want to do this so I can like get a cute picture. Yes. Like, it's actually crazy. And then you compound it with this like beautiful relationship you had and you built that on social media. It's just a very interesting, like, in order for you to heal, you had to step away from that. Mm-hmm. And now you're back with a completely new perspective and a new life, yeah. essentially, than when Absolutely. You left and you stepped away.
I also feel like I'm guilty of that too, but I'm also guilty of like being in a beautiful moment and then kind of like afterwards being like, oh, I'm bummed I didn't get like a good photo out of that. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the worst.
No, it is the worst.
Honestly, fucked okay. up how like
it is the worst. It is the worst, but like it is kind of fucked up that we live like that.
Like, I feel like it is so in our brains and like how we think about things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fucked up.
Do you think that it's only us because we're on social media? But I don't think mm-hmm. it is, because I think other people feel like that too, right?
Mm-hmm. I think everyone does. It's so ingrained in everything. Oh, yeah. Like, unless you're someone who's like so off the grid and like literally doesn't have Instagram or anything. But
what a freeing feeling.
What would that? Oh my God. I was just thinking the same thing. It's right? It's crazy. It's
like, okay, so you've learned to live life for you.
Yes.
You're learning to heal. I feel like healing is probably like a forever journey, forever. Right? But you're learning how to like live your life. Like, what are some of the other things that you're doing that make you feel fulfilled? I know, and you're also like, you're newly dating now too, right?
I
like,
am.
So take us through how you even got to that point too.
So, okay, I lost a boyfriend. So dating is like a very interesting concept, because when they pass on like a partner, a significant other, like you guys are not both agreeing not to be together. So it's like this weird, like we both knew, like some of like our last words were like, if I could stay, you already know it'd be you. Right. Mm-hmm. So like having these conversations with somebody, knowing you're never going to see them again, it's a lot to like try and reopen yourself back up. And the one thing that I really wanted to do was make sure that when I date again, I don't feel like I'm cheating on him. Like that was like a big concept for me. And I think that like there's no, and it's something that I really learned with grief, like there's no timeline. Like I could have took 4 years to date again. I could have took one or two, which I just hope that people stop judging other people for their own timeline, because a lot of people think that they have, like, even for me, like being in the public eye, how are you dating? It's only been 2 years. You never loved him. Like, these are hurtful things, but
yeah, that's so hurtful to hear.
People
that.
They're not going to understand. And I don't even know where they're getting this concept from, because like if somebody, it sounds crazy maybe to other people, but if somebody started dating somebody 2 months later after, like that's what their soul needed. And maybe they would have realized, okay, I just am doing this for the wrong reasons. I need to take a step back. But who are we to judge how somebody wants to do something? But I guess for me, I just knew, I just woke up one day. It just like happens. And you're like, okay, like I'm feeling like lonely. And like, I want to be like 25 again. Like, what does that look like for me? And slowly but surely, like making little comments at like, oh, you're so cute, you know? And like, that's a big deal for me. And like, you just slowly keep finding yourself. And one day you're like, okay, like I'm going to go on a date, which
how
helps confidence.
How was like the first date?
Oh my God. I don't know if you guys believe in signs or like what happens after. Oh,
no, we absolutely believe in
that. We believe in this.
You're in the right place.
Oh, beautiful.
Please tell us everything.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because I don't know. This is such a weird concept. And I'm always going to be like, am I just insane or not? But
no.
My
safe place.
Freaking first date, So Francesco's name was Francesco. And long story short, like the guy's like, I have this restaurant that I picked and we sit down at the table. The car ride there was great. I was like, okay, like he's a nice guy. I feel comfortable. I feel safe.
How'd you meet him?
Through a mutual friend.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, like he knows the people I know. Like I'm safe. I'm good. And we sit down at the table and the waiter comes over. He's like, hi, I'm Francesco. I'm going to be taking care of you guys.
That is insane.
No, that is a sign.
Like
that gave me crazy chills.
What
are the odds? And then guess what my date turns around and says? No way, my father, my older brother's name is Francesco.
What?
Oh my God. Okay, so what went in your head?
I'm just like, he's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I'm fine. And we ended up, after that, we went and like walked by the water and we were like talking. I explained everything thoroughly to him and he was like, wow. But he was telling me throughout the date after that happened how he has like this big yard behind his house and there's this fox that keeps eating his chickens. Like, I don't know, some weird thing. Like, there's this fox, they're trying to catch him.
You got
can't
a country boy
him.
Over here.
He lives in Staten Island. Like, there's a fox in your backyard.
You got
he's in Staten Island. He's got chickens, all right? So he's telling me the story, and I'm like, what? Like, I can't relate to this. Like, I'm mad confused, but I'm going with it, right? Mm-hmm. I go home, and I have, like, this little, like, area set up for Francesco, with, like, a big picture of me and him, like, just little candles. And then there was this stuffed animal that Francesco got me, the last one before he passed away. It was a fox. I never even acknowledged that it was a fox. We got it at Dave & Buster's.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at this stuffed animal. I'm like, what are the odds that it's a fox? We were talking about the fox the whole date.
That's so crazy.
How weird is that?
So did that give you, like, a sense of, like, okay, it's okay. Like, I'm doing the right thing. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
It made me, at first I was like, are you telling me that this is like my next soulmate? But it wasn't.
I know. I'd be like, Francesco, what are you trying to tell me?
Right.
Like, what's happening?
I was like, it's just that easy, that quick? Oh my God. And then I was like, no, you're just telling me that I'm okay to take this next step in my life.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that would have been nice.
Oh my gosh.
But
that's
no, thank
crazy,
God, because I'm not ready for a relationship. I'm just putting myself out there again. And
you document a lot of your dating journey and like your dates on social media. How is that when it comes to dating? Like, do you feel like, does it not even matter because you're not even really looking for a serious relationship? Mm. Do you feel like men have reservations about that? Like, how does that work?
So I always make sure that it's communicated to the four men so far that I've dated, like just went on dates with. Before I even waste your time, this is kind of like what I do. And I do document like just my own personal idea of like how I'm feeling before the date. And like, this is kind of just what I do.
Yeah.
You cool with that or not? Because for me, this is my career. This is my life. I'm out there. Before they even know that I'm like out there per se, maybe they think I have 20 followers. I'm just sharing. I just want to even know that like the idea of me like documenting my feelings and emotions okay with them. Because then there's no point. Like if they're like, no, this is weird. Like this is so not realistic, right?
Yeah.
So it helps me kind of just understand like, is this even a red flag or not? Are we good? Mm-hmm. Go for it. You're fine. What I realize is that the first guy, like, he was cool with it. And then after, like, I don't know what happened. He just, like, called me one day. He's like, yeah, he's like, I'm a little stressed because you're talking about how, like, you're not looking for anything online, but you are, like, experiencing this. Like, this is making me upset. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And, like, what I realized with documenting online is I want them to know where I'm at before, like, they see it online.
Mm, yeah.
I have no problem with them seeing my videos. They think it's so cute. Like, the guy I just went on a date with the other day, he's like, I love you picking your outfit. Like, it's, you know, I love all this. I just want to make sure that everything that I'm saying, like, they know prior and, like, we're all on the same page and stuff like that. But it's hard. I mean, it's...
I never thought about that, but that makes sense. Like, no one wants to know how you're feeling. They would rather hear from
you first.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it is hard because even if you're not saying anything, like, bad per se, but, like, you know when you're talking to your girlfriends about the date, like,
of course.
Do you necessarily want the person you went on the date with to hear? You know what I mean? And you're kind of doing that online.
I know.
And, like, so it is a very interesting thing to navigate, I feel like, talking about your dating life and how you're feeling, knowing that they're going to see it.
Yeah, I feel like I committed to just full sending.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, like, whatever that means and whatever he's thinking, like, this is so cringy and embarrassing, but, like, whatever. Like, that's just where I'm at right now. Might change. I've thought about, like, just being like, should I just, like, stop talking about my dating life? But I'm like, you know what? Like, everybody's learning so much from me, like, trial and error of just, like, trying to understand me as a human and what is it that I'm looking for? What are my red flags and green flags and what makes me go on a second date? And just the confidence of, like, sitting across somebody I don't know and, like, owning a conversation and what that feels like and just the strength that it takes. Like, I'm like, this is worth it.
Yeah. Wait, I have a couple of dating questions real quick for you.
Hit
me. We were
just
talking about this in another podcast.
Okay.
Well, one, I guess I want to know, like, what's an immediate red flag for you? besides, like, mm-hmm. if it's okay to share your feelings online? Mm-hmm. And two, like, what's, like, an immediate green flag? Like, what's something that you love?
Okay. The green flag that comes to mind first is that I like deep conversations. I hate, like, I need somebody that's deep because I've been through so much. So, like, if they don't, like, know how to, like, maybe pick apart an idea or, like, I could just tell if, like, we can only meet, like,
surface level. You know what
I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. like, I need somebody that knows how to be a little bit, they don't need to be as deep, perhaps, but, like, can be past surface level. So, just the conversations, like, I like asking, like, oh, like, family, like, are you close with them? And, like, seeing the way that they talk about it and why, and can they elaborate on their thoughts, mm-hmm. kind of thing. That's my green flags. I would say my red flags, well, I had just a really bad experience because I went on a date and the guy told me that his cards were no longer working and can I put my card down and he will Venmo me. And so he did not Venmo me after.
No.
I feel so bad because, like, I know he watches everything, but, like,
yo, you're just sharing your lived experience.
I got played because it didn't align. It just didn't make sense. He was lying. He was obviously lying. And I didn't understand why he was lying. I didn't understand what happened. But to be honest with you, I feel like if you make me feel uncomfortable about payments, that's a red flag for me. And I'm not saying that they need to pay for everything, but can you, like, just properly communicate, like, where you're at? Like, do you look for a girl that's willing to split 50-50? Yes or no? If so, let's have a conversation. Let's see if we align on values and beliefs. But, like, when you're awkward and you're, like, making up fake stories, like, to,
my,
like,
cards, yeah. It's so weird. My cards aren't working.
So my red flag is not good communication.
Can we talk a lot about this? Because we were just saying how, do you feel like men ask you questions? A lot of our listeners are like, what the fuck is wrong with men? Why do they not know how to have a conversation? Why can't they ask me questions?
You know what it is? So I ask such good questions that they're like, well, how about you? So I, you know what? They're using my question. You guys just made me realize.
Okay, but that's even good because sometimes girls are like, I literally ask a question. All he has to say is,
How about you?
And he doesn't even do that. I'm like, that's crazy.
No, but at least, I get the how about yous. Okay. Thank God.
Right? You're not
that's
just
a
like,
good point. Yeah. I don't think that they know how to properly ask questions.
That's what we've been discussing. Huh.
That's been a hot topic is do men know how to ask questions on dates?
Clearly not.
Oh.
And I think, not all of them, but I think as a whole, something is going on. And we're not quite sure what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I think that because of, like, my situation, which it kind of is a little hard because they are very even more like, how do I?
Yeah, that is tough.
So I, as, like, a leader mindset, I'm like, let me lead the way to, like, I want to let you know, like, here's where I'm at. Like, you're going to be able to tell and know how to, like, talk to me and just see where I'm at and not have to feel this uncomfort. Like, I'm going to make it very clear. Yeah. Like, it's okay to talk about, I'm here for a reason. It's okay. I'm okay enough to be present here or else I wouldn't waste your time. So I just been kind of, like, owning these things, but I don't know now. Damn.
Okay, well, you might need to make a TikTok video about this afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, let us
know. Heard it here first. Men don't ask questions.
Yeah. You guys are right.
Okay, obviously your situation is super unique, but if there is someone who is looking to get into dating again after a long-term relationship, like, what advice can you give to them?
Okay, so I feel like you can feel when you're ready. I feel like for me, it's like, confidence within. So, like, going to the gym, just feeling like I know what I bring to the table and, like, who is a person I want to show up as. Like, I have all these things to back me. Like, hey, I'm a girl that loves to go to the gym and I value family and I value who I am and I take care of myself. Like, this is why I'm sitting across from you because I know I deserve to be here. So I just want girls to, like, get to that place. So it just feels so fun and comfortable and just exciting. And then just put yourself out there and just, I feel like there's never, like, a good time to just, you're never going to feel entirely ready. You just got to do it. Just go for it. And if it's bad, like, who cares? You don't have to see them again. Like, we always worry, like, are they going to like us? Are we going to like you? That's, like, the mindset that, like, really helps me. Like, I'm going into this seeing, like, hey, does this person, like, serve me? And if they don't, that's okay. And if they do, great. Why do I always have to worry about, like, am I going to serve them? So that's kind of where my head's at with it.
No, I love that. Yeah. We talk about all of this.
Right?
Yeah. There's never going to be a perfect time. You're just going to have to kind of force yourself to do it because it's uncomfortable. Even if you are feeling so good and so confident in yourself, like, going on a date is, like, uncomfortable. Like,
it's
gets you out of your comfort zone and, like, it's just like, oh, like, it's weird. It's awkward. Like, it is. No, so you just have to do it. You have to force yourself to do it if a relationship is what you're looking for. And yeah, take the pressure off of being like, oh my God, is this person going to like me? And be like, okay, what do I think of them? Literally the best, I think, dating advice that you could give someone, so.
Are you guys shy about, like, what you eat in front of? Well, you're married now. So you're thriving.
Oh no, I was literally like I'd be so nervous. I would have no appetite on dates. Like, because I'd be so nervous. Like, right. I could barely drink my drink. I'd be like, so
right.
Because like, I was in a long term relationship for 10 years.
Okay.
And so I had never dated because we met when we were like 18.
Gotcha.
And so when I started dating, I never dated. I was like terrified. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god. Oh, so no, I did not eat at all. Even still, like, I just started dating someone. I have a boyfriend now. But, like, on our first few dates, I, like, barely ate because I was so nervous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I really love to eat. But, like, yeah. I just am so nervous right now.
Oh, you would communicate that?
After, like, a couple dates.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's great to be like, hey, listen, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a little nervous. They're probably, like, same. And then you come together and you're like, okay, period. This is fine. We're both in the same place. Let's do this shit.
I honestly feel like you're really good at simplifying things because even just something as simple as that, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm like a little nervous. Like, that is just such a natural human feeling. They probably feel the exact same freaking way. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, like, just cuts out so much tension in the room.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love that. Oh my gosh. Well, I just love your energy and thank you so much for sharing your story and being so open about it. Like, we so appreciate it. And I know that you sharing your story is going to help so many people. And I'm so excited to see what's next for you. And
oh, thank you guys. And thank you for giving me the space to even share my story and just being here and being present. And I'm just so happy to be here. So thank you.
No, we loved having you. Tell everyone where they can follow you, find you, listen to podcast that you did, all of it.
All right. So my podcast is Let's Talk with Caitlin Reagan. And my Instagram is Caitlin Reagan. _ in the middle.
And like, your TikTok too, girl.
Caitlin _Reagan. Same across my, I made it pretty simple. So like, I didn't even forget what my usernames were. But yeah, you can find me, Caitlin _Reagan, everywhere.
You have such good New York energy. Like, it's so refreshing. I love it so much. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.